every day, Mass is celebrated at St. Dominic's Chapel at the Chancery Offices of the Archdiocese of Atlanta. The following is a recording of today's readings and homily from a previous year.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called Synagogue of Free Men, Syrians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Then they instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God." They stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes. They accosted him, seized him, and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They presented false witnesses who testified, "This man never stops saying things against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him claim that this Jesus the Nazarene will destroy this place and change the customs that Moses handed down to us." All those who sat in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. The word of the Lord. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Though princes meet and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Yes, your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. I declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Remove from me the way of falsehood, and favor me with your law. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread, when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. for on him the Father God has set his seal. So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." The Gospel of the Lord.
Sometimes it's easy to find a connection between the two readings, the first and the Gospel, and I'm sure there are any number of them for these two readings we heard today. But one of them that seemed to pull at me was the notion of a zealous soul, a prophet or an evangelizer, getting a fairly stiff or even resistant reception, unless he's immediately benefiting his audience. The language related to the crowd resisting Stephen is interesting. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. We have to have some sympathy with the crowd, because Stephen was working great wonders and signs among the people, as we heard in Acts. Some would have been stupefied, and some would have simply been reluctant to believe what they were witnessing. Others probably felt that this was a disturbance of the way things are supposed to be, and they just wanted it all to go back to the rational order and the temple hierarchy that they were accustomed to. In the Gospel, Jesus has worked a major sign in the feeding of the 5,000 on the hillside, and you can be sure that it made quite an impression. The takeaway would have been along the lines of, if he can do this once, he can do it all the time. I don't imagine everyone was looking for just another meal when they were looking for him. Some probably wanted him to work other miracles. Some would have wanted to know more about him, to just see who is this and get to know what makes him tick. What else could he bring them? Again, we have to sympathize some. If people are hungry, they can't always focus on the supernatural. We can, because we're not hungry. There's the one, too. First, I need my immediate earthly needs to be satisfied, and then I hear you when you quote Isaiah and do these stupendous things in my presence. Sometimes Jesus is able to do both, to satisfy both, to preach both, as in the feeding of the multitude. Why wouldn't they want to follow him and see what else he could bring? It stands to reason that some of what we look for Jesus to supply is for our earthbound good. Healing from sickness, healing of wounds and fractured relationships, a job for the jobless, and so on. But we know from Scripture that that can't be the only thing we await. We want to hitch our wagon to the star that is Jesus, so that we might be sure of the way we want to live that will bring us to the gate of heaven. We look to him to provide so much. Blessings in the here and now, and an eternal blessing for those who are faithful to him. Jesus tells us that the way to do this is to believe in the one that God has sent. Implied in that is the certainty that we must also act on what we believe. We can be thankful when our primary needs are met, and we can be thankful likewise when, through this Mass and elsewise, we can turn our attention to the food that endures beyond the moment.